Welcome to Delivering Miracles, a podcast to teach women like you tips and strategies on how you can have a safer pregnancy so you can bring home a healthy baby. I'm your host and your high-risk pregnancy expert, Farijat Deshpande. I can't wait to chat with you. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Delivering Miracles. This episode is a fun one because we're talking about the fact that pregnancy is weird. There are so many weird things that happen to your body when you're pregnant. And you know what I realized when I got pregnant? Is nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about the really weird, gross, or super embarrassing things that happen during pregnancy. And so then it happens to you and you're like, oh my God, I've turned into a mutant. What is wrong with me? It's not you. This is just how pregnancy is. It's not just about growing a baby, which obviously is super awesome and incredible that our bodies can do that. But the side effects of having all these extra hormones going on and all the different ways that your body changes shape, changes size, even the fact that to allow your belly to grow over those 40 weeks, you need to have a hormone that loosens your ligaments to allow for that growth. But it's not just targeted to your belly, so you've got loose ligaments everywhere. You've heard of feet getting bigger with pregnancy? Yeah, it's all kind of together. It all comes together and it's all related and it's crazy. So I thought today, let's talk about some of the weird things that happen during pregnancy that you might be at home going, oh my gosh, why is this happening? This is so awful. There's no way it's happening to anyone else. I want to talk about it to show you that it's not just you. It happens to so many people. So today, we're talking about the 7 weird facts about being pregnant, right? So if you're ready, let's do this. Okay, number 1, you might have heard of some of these before, and you probably have some great stories about it. So, number 1 is pregnant women develop what I call and what I've heard is called a bloodhound nose. You've got this heightened sense of smell that makes you able to smell anything, anywhere that no one else can smell. And you're just like, what is that nasty thing somewhere? I can't, and nobody has any idea what you're talking about. When I was on bed rest, okay, so you know I went on bed rest really early, right? So I was just barely settling into the idea that I was pregnant again and trying to, you know, I was trying to keep up with all the complications that were happening, and I hadn't really paid attention to these normal aspects of pregnancy. And so I was on bed rest. I remember one day I was sitting on the sofa and my dad had come over to kind of babysit me slash keep me company slash help out because I wasn't able to, you know, doctor's like, well, yeah, sure, you can make yourself lunch, but why? If you have help, why not do it? So he came over one day. And my dad's great. He's very enthusiastic about trying different things, including cooking, which he's not very good at. If he's listening, he's probably going to be like, hey, why'd you tell everyone that? But he came over and I was like, hey, I'd really love some scrambled eggs for lunch. And so I'm sitting on the sofa and our kitchen is up like a really short flight of stairs, but it's, you know, it's all open, just a multi-level home. And so the kitchen is, gosh, I'm terrible at estimating, but probably like 25, 30 feet away, like a good distance. We're not talking about the next room over. And he's cooking and he's just like, do-do-do, and humming to himself. And he's feeling really proud that he's making his daughter some lunch. And he's cooking and I'm going, what the heck is that smell? What is that? What are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm making you scrambled eggs. What are you talking about? And he brings the plate. He's done cooking. He brings the plate closer and closer. And every step that he takes, I'm just like, what is that? What are you bringing me? And he finally puts it in front of me and I almost have to throw up because I can't stand the smell. And he's like, I don't know what's happening to you. Like, is this just a pregnancy? Like, oh, you wanted eggs and now you don't want eggs thing? And I was like, somewhere in between the like dry heaving, I was like, you cooked them in vinegar. And he had no idea what I was talking about because even sitting right there with a plate of eggs in his hand, he couldn't smell it. And I could smell it as he was cooking 30 feet away. And it's just become this joke in our family now, years later. Anytime somebody wants eggs, if we like get together for brunch or lunch or something, we're like, don't let him near the kitchen because he's going to make you vinegar eggs. So it happens, right? You get this bloodhound nose and you can smell everything, good and bad. Really, it's a lot of times it's just bad. But, you know, you smell people's odors. You smell this just like the garbage and all this stuff. And it's important. You know, it's actually evolutionarily, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because especially early in the pregnancy, but really throughout the whole thing, you want to make sure that you can spot something that's dangerous for you or your baby. And so it's your body's way of really just protecting yourself from getting sick. And so it kind of swings the other way and makes you really hypersensitive to avoid the risk of coming in contact with something that could make you sick and could affect the baby. So it makes a lot of sense. So if this happens to you and you turn into a bloodhound, know that that's very normal and to trust that it's your body's way of protecting you and your baby. Okay. So, okay, that's number one. Number two. Okay. Number two is you sound like a jackhammer in the middle of the night. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You have been a world-class sleeper, no sleep issues. You are super comfortable and super quiet at night. And now all of a sudden, you are snoring up a storm. And to the point where maybe your partner is like, oh my God, do I really want to sleep? In the same room? I don't know. And it can be embarrassing, right? Because you're like, oh my God, I don't want to snore. And it can be disruptive to your sleep and to your partner's sleep. It happens because your mucous membranes swell up during pregnancy. It's also the reason why you might always have a runny nose or a stuffy nose during pregnancy, even though you're not sick. These mucous membranes swell up. And so it forces you to breathe through your mouth when you're sleeping because you can't breathe through your nose because you're congested. And that can result in some pretty exhausted partners in the morning if they haven't been able to sleep. And, you know, and in all seriousness, that could be a potential strain on a relationship because partners aren't getting enough sleep or maybe you're waking yourself up even with the snoring and that exhaustion just kind of adds to everything. So a couple things you can try if that's happening, right, is use saline nose drops before you go to sleep and during the night if you happen to wake up to the bathroom or something. That'll help clear out a little bit of those sinuses. Run a humidifier, a cool mist humidifier. There's some great ones you can get on Amazon. We just got one actually off of Amazon that's fantastic. It's super quiet and it even has a built-in nightlight if you need it. But it's really powerful. So you can get something for pretty cheap online. You can try sleeping on your side. That always helps. And getting a good body pillow, if you've been meaning to do that, now would be a good time. So you can kind of put it behind you to prevent you from rolling over. Or just even if it's not a body pillow, just some extra pillows would be really helpful for you. And another thing, a couple, that a few moms say helps is instead of sleeping on your side, if you prop yourself up and sleep a little bit more upright, kind of like how you do when you're sick and you can't breathe, that can help too. And the bonus of that is it can actually help with your heartburn if you're having any. So don't freak out if you suddenly start snoring. It's likely after pregnancy is done, baby's home, you will go back to your baseline. But until then, be warned that it happens to a lot of women, and there is a lot that you can do about it to help yourself out. Okay, so number one, we've got the bloodhound nose. Number two, we've got the jackhammer breathing and sleeping with the snoring. Number three, and a lot of people have heard about this, but we don't really talk about what is going on, which is that you might start lactating during pregnancy. And I know when I hear from moms, or I see, you know, moms emailing me or in some groups that I'm a part of or something, when they see that happening, they start seeing fluid coming out of their breasts during pregnancy, they're like, what is going on? Because you're not prepared for it, right? How many times do you really talk about the fact that you're going to start lactating before the baby's born? Kind of freaks you out a little, right? Like, what is happening? Is this a sign my baby's going to come early? Like, what is this? So here's the deal. Okay, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your pregnancy, and it doesn't necessarily mean baby's coming early. In fact, I don't think it's even related. What's happening is you're producing colostrum, which in the NICU world is called liquid gold. And that's true for all babies, preemies or otherwise, because it's this like sweet, watery pre-milk fluid that your body produces before your milk comes in that your baby gets until your milk comes in. And it's so packed with nutrients, and it's actually supposed to be very tasty. I remember when my son was born, and you know, he was born extremely prematurely, and I was trying to start pumping to start getting my milk supply built up. And I shared, I was making some colostrum, and we'd go to the NICU and kind of take a cotton swab and swab the inside of his mouth with it, and just seeing like how much his eyes were still fused. He wasn't even like, he was so tiny, but you could see his face, and he just loved the taste of it because it's so sweet. And babies love that. It's really good for them. So anyway, this colostrum, it can be thick. It can be kind of yellowish at first. And then depending on how early it happens in the pregnancy, which it's towards the end of the pregnancy anyway, this is not going to happen typically in like the second trimester or anything, but it starts out like yellowy and thick, and then it becomes like pale or colorless fluid. And it happens when your breasts are massaged or if they're stimulated in any way. And it doesn't happen to everyone. So if it happens to you, then know that that's okay. And if it doesn't happen to you, know that that's okay too. But what I will tell you is these two things. Number one, if you produce colostrum in pregnancy, or even if you don't, it does not affect whether you will produce milk when your baby's born. They're not connected, okay? Women who don't produce colostrum during pregnancy can and will still go on to have a healthy milk supply. And if you do produce during pregnancy, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have an oversupply or you're running out or you're getting it in too early or anything like that. So you can remove that connection in your head. But I will say this though, and this is a question that I get so, so often when women experience this. They ask, well, should I start pumping because I can start collecting the milk and then save it for when my baby's born? Do not pump during pregnancy. Okay? I'll say it again. Do not pump during pregnancy. The stimulation of your breasts by using a hand pump, a mechanical pump, a hospital grade pump, even if you're hand expressing, that can trigger preterm labor, even if you're having an otherwise completely normal pregnancy. So do not pump if you see yourself producing colostrum during pregnancy. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Best case, you know, best things that you can do, get some nursing pads early or something, stick them in your bra when you are going out so it doesn't leak into your shirt or anything like that. And just know that you're just getting prepared for what's about to happen. Hopefully once the baby's born, you're just going to have to be dealing with this for a little while. So lactating during pregnancy, it happens. It happens. And if it doesn't happen, that's normal. If it happens, that's normal. Don't worry about it. It says nothing about your future milk supply, but do not pump if you see it happening. Okay? All right. Oh, the next one's really good. So the next one, what is it? Number four now we're talking about? Number four is your baby is peeing in the womb. Babies urinate in utero. And I had no idea about this until I had my like 478th complication, which was when I was 23 weeks and 2 days. My water broke, right? It's called PPROM, preterm premature rupture of membranes. And my doctor told me, at first I thought, you know, baby was going to come and there was no hope. And I didn't realize you can stay pregnant after PPROM for several days. Some women stay pregnant for many weeks. And my doctor told me, okay, so now it's really important that you stay extremely hydrated. So you have to drink more water than you've been drinking before. And I was like, what are you talking about? What is that? What do you mean? And it, basically, what happens is the more hydrated that you are as mom, the more amniotic fluid you have. Okay, so for those of you who haven't PPROM, but you have low fluid levels, your doctor's telling you to drink a lot, right? Because what happens inside is your baby swallows the amniotic fluid, digests it, and then it goes through his or her kidneys, and then they pee it out back into the uterus, and then it goes in and out, and the cycle just repeats itself, which is so cool to me because it's one of the most important biological processes that you need to be able to practice. And obviously, I mean, breathing trumps everything, but you can't breathe in utero yet. As early as, you know, the first trimester, end of the first trimester, this is starting to happen because your the little baby's body needs to start practicing how this works. And so that's why your doctors are telling you to drink so much fluid. And I just thought it was so cool when she told me that. In the middle of all my paranoia and fear and terrified moments of, oh my God, what's going to happen to my baby now? But when she told me that, I thought it was really cool that, hey, there are things that I can do right now that can still keep me pregnant that don't really seem that hard to do. So you might hear your doctor saying things like drinking a lot more fluid, a lot more water than you used to be drinking, way more than the typical average pregnant woman if you have PPROM, because this is what can help you stay pregnant. As long as baby's looking good, as long as you're feeling good, and there's enough fluid in there for baby to be okay, you can stay pregnant. And so you want to encourage your baby to keep peeing. So drink a lot of fluids. So we've got, okay, so the next one, all right, the next one is orgasms can cause contractions during pregnancy. And now I know this freaks a lot of women out because you're also experiencing a different level of desire during pregnancy, likely. And it's a great time to be connected with your partner. And then when you have sex and it causes contractions, a lot of moms are freaking out. So here's the truth about that, okay? Orgasms cause contractions. They actually cause contractions even when you're not pregnant. You just usually don't feel them. You know, that cramping or contractions, you just don't feel them. If you have a typical pregnancy, there's no complications, you don't have a history of complications, you don't have a history of preterm birth or miscarriages, if you're not on pelvic rest, I mean, if everything's going smoothly, and it has been going smoothly, these contractions will go away in about 15 to 45 minutes, something like that. And they don't do anything to your pregnancy. They don't set off preterm labor. They're not going to start dilating your cervix. It's all okay. All right, I know it's scary, but it works. It's okay. Like, it's your body knows what it's doing, and it's okay, and it's not going to do anything awful. If they're going on for more than an hour, they start becoming regular, then you definitely want to call your doctor and just kind of get it checked out. Make sure there's nothing else going on. But if you're high risk, meaning you already have complications or you have a history of complications or preterm birth, repetitive pregnancy loss, lots of miscarriages, things like that, your doctor might tell you to be on pelvic rest, and this is why. Because you want to avoid uterine contractions. And so that's why they don't say no sex, they say no orgasms, because that's what causes contractions. And if you're high risk, you don't want that to happen. I had a client one time who was kind of on the fence with a high-risk pregnancy, like things were going okay, but then she'd have a little bit of a setback, and then they were going okay, and they were stable again. And she got cleared from her doctor to be able to have intercourse with her partner. And so she did. And afterwards, she ended up having contractions quite regularly. They weren't going away. And because she was already technically high risk, but she was off pelvic rest, the doctor said, hey, go to the ER and you need to get this checked out. We want to make sure it's not kicking off preterm labor. Because the reason why this happens is an orgasm releases oxytocin, right? Which is that hormone that makes you feel really good, but it also makes the uterus contract. If you've heard of maybe friends or family members who have been given Pitocin, right? That's just a synthetic version of oxytocin to make your uterus contract, right? So the oxytocin plus there are these chemicals in sperm called prostaglandins, which also cause uterine contractions. So those two things combined really can set the stage for preterm labor if you are at risk for it. So anything related to uterine contractions, like nipple stimulation, orgasms, semen, anything that's going to stimulate you in any way like that could lead to uterine contractions and boost your risk for early labor. But that's if you are at risk for that anyway. If you're having a healthy pregnancy, you don't have a complicated history, it might scare you for a few minutes, but there's really nothing else to worry about. It's very normal. And you just chill out for a little while and wait for it to go away, and it will. Okay? So the takeaway here is if you have a healthy pregnancy, you've been cleared to have intercourse or to have orgasms, go for it. Enjoy. But if you're high risk or you've been put on pelvic rest, stay away from that because it could have big time consequences in terms of kicking off preterm labor. Okay? Last two here, okay? Number six is, and this is so awesome. This one is, you are drooling like a baby. What? I know, I didn't know about this until recently either. This is not something that I personally experienced, but I have now started hearing about moms who are coming to me telling me this is happening. That you start drooling during pregnancy. There are some women who during pregnancy can produce up to 3 or 4 quarts of excess saliva every day. I mean, that's a lot of fluid going on in your mouth at one time, right? I mean, what is that? So unfortunately, we don't know a lot about exactly why this happens in terms of producing excess saliva, but really, we can guess that it has to do something with the pregnancy hormones and just generally having extra fluid in your body, right? You're drinking so much, your blood volume has gone up. There's got to be something going on with that that's making this possible. So you might find yourself having to spit for the first time in your life just to get rid of it all. Because what else are you supposed to do? Can't really wear a bib or anything when you're pregnant. I guess although you could get something super cute probably and make it work. I bet somebody in, just wait for somebody in like Hollywood or New York to do that first, and it's just going to pick up and be like such a fad. There's going to be like maternity bibs being sold everywhere. But until then, unless you want to be the first person to do it, which would be so awesome, please send me a picture if you do it. Until then, a couple things you can do to try to curb the amount of saliva you're making. You could try to limit the amount of starch in your diet. Sometimes that's been shown to help. Or drink water with some lemon juice in it. Some women have said that that's been helpful too. And that's also a really great way to make sure that you're staying hydrated by putting different fruits or lemon or cucumber or something in your water to keep yourself from getting bored of just the water taste. But, okay, so it may be super embarrassing that suddenly you've got this drool coming out of your mouth when you're pregnant. It's supposed to happen to babies, but it's happening too early. Maybe it's to help you have a little bit of empathy for the baby once the baby is born. I'm making light of it. It's embarrassing as heck, I can totally imagine. But it is completely normal if you do drool during pregnancy. Okay, the last one, this probably is one of my favorites, is that sometimes dad will gain weight during pregnancy too. And I don't know, maybe you've seen this, but there's this hilarious image that is being circulated around Facebook right now of this couple, this heterosexual couple. Mom is pregnant, probably like, I don't know, 6-7 months pregnant. And she's got her shirt rolled up and she's holding onto her belly. And I think she's wearing like all black or something. And then right behind her, back to back, is dad, who's also wearing all black, but he's got his shirt rolled up over a beer belly. And they're both just holding their bellies together. It's really hilarious. If you can find it, you can see it. And it happens. Okay. It happens. It's part of the pregnancy experience for a lot of dads. And I would probably even go so far as to say partners in general, though there's more talk about it for dads specifically. And there's this term that they call it, they're calling it Cuvaud syndrome. And that's technically what they're defining it as, is a condition where the father-to-be experiences pregnancy symptoms like weight gain, nausea, insomnia, and mood swings when his wife is pregnant. And it's actually so common that the chief medical correspondent of CNN, Sanjay Gupta, said that 90% of men experience at least one pregnancy-like symptom. Okay, so this is not something that happens to one or two guys here or there. This is something that happens to a lot of men. Okay, some version of it is happening, whether it's weight gain or it's, you know, mood swings like we talked about just now, nausea, insomnia, something is happening to them. Now, I'll say this here. Mental health professionals think it's a psychological issue, right? They're explaining it like men don't feel needed, or they want to feel more involved, and so it's kind of expressing itself physically. Doctors seem to think it's a physical issue, that with the stress of the impending life changes, with a new baby on the way, and changes in maybe the roles in your family or in your marriage, men may start to eat more because they're stress eating, and so then they gain weight. And then when you gain weight, you put on more fat. That fat turns the testosterone into estrogen, and that estrogen may be responsible for these mood swings that dad's feeling, or even the nausea or something. And then you add on to that the insomnia piece of it, which can make you really moody and irritable, right? Like when you don't get a good night's sleep, you're just super crabby the next day. You know, I mean, yes, I hear both of these things. I'd like to believe it and see it kind of in a more positive light, that maybe what happens to partners is something like their mirror neurons that we have in our brains that really tune us into the person that we're talking to or that we're closest with. Something like that gets turned on and we start having this kind of mutual or this joint shared experience that gets translated physically for dad too. I just think that's a nicer way to explain it. I have absolutely no data or science to back that up at all. It really bugs me when we describe things like this as a pathological issue when it really may not be. We just haven't been able to prove it yet. Whatever the reason is and whatever the motivation or what you want to say, whatever you want to say about it, is behind dad's gaining weight, it happens. Okay, so, and he might be feeling self-conscious about it, and you might be going, oh my gosh, I'm the one that's carrying the baby. Why should I have sympathy for you putting on weight? Just stop eating and then it won't happen to you, right? Here's the thing. All right, and we've talked about this a lot in a variety of different ways over the episodes, but here's the thing. Pregnancy, preparing for a new baby arrival, you both have very different experiences of it. And you will. There's no way that the experiences are going to be identical just by the sheer nature of how it works. And so this is a great opportunity to find some connection during your pregnancy. And that could be cooking together to make sure you're both eating healthy, or exercising together to make sure that you both stay fit if you're allowed to exercise. I mean, this is a great opportunity to come together and say, okay, how can we get through this together as a team and still be really healthy so we can have a healthy family to bring this baby into in however many weeks and months. Right? So don't give your husband a hard time if he gains weight. Give him, you know, cut him some slack. He's doing the best that he can. Be kind to each other. And remember that this is a great opportunity for both of you to come together and be healthy together. You now, and then you're setting up the habit for once baby's born that you can continue, you know, exercising and cooking and whatever together even then. Okay, so there we have it, the 7 weird facts of pregnancy for today. So, okay, just to recap, we've got the bloodhound nose, right? Number one, the bloodhound nose. So that's your body's way of protecting you from getting sick or protecting your baby from getting sick. Number two is don't freak out if you start snoring during pregnancy. It happens to a lot of women and it's not likely to be permanent. So you will go back to being your quiet, angelic sleep state very soon. Well, actually you won't be sleeping because now there'll be a baby, but you won't be snoring. Number three, it's possible that you will start producing colostrum during pregnancy. If that happens, don't worry about it. If it doesn't happen, don't worry about it. Both of those are very normal. But the one thing to remember is do not pump if you start producing any kind of fluid or seeing any kind of discharge from your nipples during pregnancy. Number four is to drink a lot of fluid. It's not just to keep you hydrated, but it's actually helping your baby have enough amniotic fluid to be swimming in and to be practicing peeing. Number five is orgasms can cause uterine contractions, and in a healthy, typical pregnancy, that's not a concern, but if you are high risk, you don't want to do that because it could cause preterm labor. So this is probably a reason why your doctors put you on pelvic rest. Number six is you may need to start a new habit of spitting, possibly, or designing couture maternity bibs, perhaps. But having excessive saliva is super embarrassing, but very normal during pregnancy. And the last one is dads can gain weight too. So don't give them a hard time. Just be kind and use this as a way to stay connected with each other and find a way to be healthy together. So there we have it. If you didn't think pregnancy was weird already, you probably are completely convinced that it's really weird right now. And if you aren't pregnant yet, I hope this has not deterred you from trying. You know, it's weird things happen and they're embarrassing or they're overwhelming or they're just like annoying. And sometimes you just gotta laugh, right? You just gotta, this is ridiculous. And you've got to talk about it. So if it happens, you don't feel like you're the only one in the world that's got a spit bucket next to you just because you're making so much saliva. So there we have it. I hope you enjoyed that today. I had so much fun chatting with you today too. If you are going through a high-risk pregnancy and you know that you need to laugh a little bit more, you need to inject some joy into your pregnancy or your life a little bit more, if you just want to know how to have a healthier pregnancy during your high-risk pregnancy, I would love to chat with you. So you can head over to my website and schedule a free healthy high-risk pregnancy consultation, and I would love to chat with you and talk to you a little bit more about what you can do to have a healthier pregnancy. I'd also love to stay in touch. So follow me on Twitter or Instagram. My handles are Parijatdesh on both, Parijatdesh. Pregnancy is weird. And I think the more we talk about it, the less shameful, the less embarrassing, and the less we're completely caught off guard when all these changes are happening to our body. And it's a really great time to come together with other women and bond over these crazy things that happen to our bodies. And also just to remind yourself that it is a phase and it will end. And while your body will not go back to exactly the way it was before, you will find your new normal that won't be quite so embarrassing. At some point it will happen. Thank you so much for being here, and I really encourage you to take it one day, one step at a time, and find something to laugh about every day, because it is just so worth it and so much easier to deal with than hiding in the embarrassment of what's going on. You can do this.